Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome again here on Circles of Change. There's nothing more fun than having another in-studio guest, Danielle Kessler. How are you this morning, Danielle?
I'm doing great. How are you?
And even better than that, for me to tap into a younger generation, so I'm going to take more copious notes because I always learn from those of you who come on the show. Let me introduce Danielle. She's an aspiring journalist whose goal is to become a well-rounded communicator, proficient in both writing and multimedia. She's currently a graduate student at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University, and she's going to graduate with a Master's in Mass Communication in December of this year, so it's countdown mode, right?
It is.
Sweat project, getting close, yeah. Danielle earned a Bachelor in Journalism and Mass Communications degree 2 years ago from New Mexico State University. She worked in newspaper and public relations then before beginning her master's. Now, through her graduate studies, she's had some really interesting opportunities, and that's what we want to bring to light here during the show. She traveled to Puerto Rico to carry out an investigative story on the island's struggling coffee industry, and then in just July of this year, she covered the 2012 Summer Olympic Games in London. And Danielle is currently a reporter for the Cronkite News, a wire service sponsored by ASU, and she is also the content manager for their News Media Innovation Lab, contributing to mobile application projects. So on the next break, I'm going to grab out my iPhone and ask her to please teach me how to use this thing, because your generation is way ahead of mine in that regard. Well, again, I'm so glad you came down here from the other city here in Tucson, in Arizona, to come spend some time with us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I'm excited to be here.
My pleasure. Well, you know, for most young people that are sitting there having graduated from undergraduate school, you know, they're faced with the opportunity of either starting into the workforce, or some of them say, you know, I think I'm going to go straight on to graduate school, and then others will say, you know, I better wait before I start. Now, you made the decision to go relatively quickly. So why graduate school for you then?
Graduate school was something that I always thought I would do in my future. When I was getting ready to graduate in the fall of 2010, I was working as a student writer in the communications office at New Mexico State. And they offered me a full-time temporary position that would be 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was the perfect time period to take off of school. You know, we talk about refueling for the journey. It was the perfect time for me to kind of collect myself
right. And
gear up. But I was still in school mode.
And you could still hang out on a campus and still have some of that feeling of semesters and so on.
Exactly. So I graduated in December and worked with the communications office until August before moving out to Phoenix right before school started. And when I was graduating, you know, a lot of the professors that I talked with right around graduation were telling me, you know, it's tough. It's a tough job market right now. You'd be smart to continue in your education if that's what you want to do. And after researching some of the graduate programs around the country, and in particular the Cronkite School, which is where I really wanted to go, I knew that it was the right choice. And working in the communications office, you know, my background was in print and public relations, but they threw a camera at me and said, take photos, take video, you know, and those were experiences that I hadn't been trained in.
Which, by the way, most of us haven't been trained in 90% of what we're asked to do when we get in the workforce.
Exactly.
So this is sort of welcome to the real world now.
Mm-hmm. But it was.
But I gather you also didn't let them know that, oh, gee, I don't know how to use a camera. You probably just said, oh, great, sure, no problem. And then you go off and figure out, how am I going to use this
thing?
Yeah,
and they were really great and understanding about my limitations. But I thought that, you know, there's no better way to do it than to go back to school and learn some more skills.
And so what attracted you specifically to the Cronkite School?
The Cronkite School's graduate curriculum is really unique. It's a 3-semester program.
It's not for the light. It's be ready to work hard. Right.
It's full time. You devote 98% of your time to school for that year and a half. But the way that it's set up in the first semester is they take you through what they call a boot camp, where they throw at you print, broadcast, multimedia skills. So people coming into the program that don't have a background in journalism are kind of given a crash course and given all the skills that they need and get a pretty good idea of what direction they want to go on in the next two semesters.
So it's kind of a shakedown period,
Yeah. And so in your second semester, then you decide what advanced classes you want to take, whether that be in broadcast or in-depth reporting. And then it culminates in this capstone experience in your final semester where you're working in one of the three professional programs at the Cronkite School, Cronkite News Service, which is the wire service, the New Media Innovation Lab, where you're working with clients in developing mobile applications.
Which is, of course, where you are.
Yes. Yep. And the Cronkite News Watch, which is a fully student-run 40-minute show that airs on PBS 4 days a week.
Wonderful. And so you really get your hands on the real dials. Mm-hmm. Can I just take a quick break here? Have you ever done a radio show before?
I have not.
You are such a natural at this. I'm stepping back. You know, you're going to be my co-anchor here. And I mentioned that, Danielle, because it's clear that the kind of experiences you had up till now throw you something and it kind of feels sort of like, but then maybe not, but you can transfer your skills and voila, you're here on the air smiling as if you've done this countless times with me.
I might be lying a little bit. We did, during our broadcast boot camp, we put together a 20-minute radio show in which we all participated in. So I have had a little experience, but not a live radio show like this.
But I would tell you, by the way, again, for those of us who sit in the professional chairs, we know that 80% of the time we're making it up anyways, all right? But reaching out for others for help, or who do we partner with? I mentioned the introduction, of course, that part of your experience at Cronkite involved two extraordinary interviews, opportunities. So tell us about how in the world you got to, what attracted you to, and then what did you do going to Puerto Rico and focusing on the coffee industry?
Well, I first took interest in taking a depth reporting class at the Cronkite School. Offers every spring semester. It's a program that's sponsored by the Howard G. Buffett Foundation, and Professor Rick Rodriguez at the Cronkite School teaches it every spring. And I met with him in the fall and interviewed for the class. I thought that the year before they had gone to the Dominican Republic and did this amazing project that covered the immigration issues. Mm-hmm. And after looking at that project, I knew that it was something that I really wanted to be a part of. So I interviewed to be selected into the class, and I was lucky enough to be able to take it. And we spent the first several weeks of the class just delving into research and looking at the immigration issues over there. And then, as you know, the big issue over in Puerto Rico is whether or not they're going to become the 51st state. So we looked at stories relating to statehood issues. And then we worked on setting up interviews. Mm-hmm. We only had, you know, several days there. And so we wanted to utilize the time the best we could, because those are interviews that you might not ever get. You might not ever see these people again. You only have this opportunity to take pictures, take video. So it was intimidating, but I learned a lot, because usually I'm not intimidated to make cold calls, but knowing that the person on the other end of the line probably is going to speak Spanish, and Spanish that you're not really familiar with, because it is different over there, it was a little scary, but it taught me a lot. And I was traveling while I was there about 3-4 hours every day to get out to these coffee plantations. Mm-hmm. My story was focused directly on the coffee industry out there. You know, Puerto Rico was one of the biggest exporters of coffee in the world. At one point, it was the choice of coffee at the Vatican. And over in recent years, they just have not had enough people willing to go out into the fields and pick the coffee, which is an issue here in the Southwest we're very familiar with.
Yes, exactly.
And so I was traveling into the Central Mountains to interview farmers and people that ran roasters. And it was just an incredibly humbling experience to get to go and meet these people that have devoted their lives to this industry and are struggling.
And usually, isn't it multi-generations, too? Mm-hmm. It's the whole family line that would come through in that story. And so it isn't that you had, you know, a theory you wanted to prove out, though. It was one you went there to see what would pop up from these interviews.
Right. It was something that has been heavily covered on the island. I knew that initially when I started my research, I was looking at jobs of immigrant workers, and traditionally that's been agriculture. And so it kind of boiled down to this issue. And it actually turned out to be probably one of the most important stories that I've ever worked on and maybe ever will. It's something that I'm really proud of.
And that's really what the education process is all about. I'm glad we just caught that on tape before you and on the podcast for Indelible Ink, shall we say, because 15 years from now, when you're getting the Pulitzer Prize for having reported on something, you'll sit back and say, oh, yeah, wasn't my most important story about what I did, okay? But that's really important to ground yourself. In fact, for many of us in the professional world, we want to treat every job we have as if it's our last job, meaning that we're really giving it all and in our heart. So what an experience. So you came back from Puerto Rico then, of course, and dove right back into your studies.
Right.
And now comes up, okay, what am I going to do for my summer?
Right. Just when I thought my year couldn't get any better, I actually found out that I was selected to travel to London to cover the Olympics a week before I left Puerto Rico.
Oh, my goodness. A double whammy.
And so I was very excited when I learned about it, but I was so busy preparing for the trip and trying to get my story done at the end of the semester in addition to the rest of my course load. It really didn't hit me until we were preparing for the Olympics about a month ahead of time. That was amazing because they had, I think, 100 applicants and selected 18 or 19 of us to go to London. And that was something that I never thought I was going to be able to do. You know, I used to watch the Olympics when I was little and thought, I want to be there one day. Of course, I thought I was going to be a gymnast or an ice skater.
That's right. Okay, right. And that's okay. Yeah. That works.
But I always thought to myself in watching the Summer Olympics over the years that I hope one day I have the means to get to go and watch the games. And little did I know that I'd not only get to go, but I'd get to work behind the scenes and meet athletes and attend practices.
So what were your responsibilities in going there?
We actually didn't have, we worked on several stories while we were there. In addition, I helped contribute to a blog that we did for the Arizona Republic. And so we looked at giving the stories we were doing a Arizona angle. Mm-hmm. We covered athletes that compete, you know, at the University of Arizona, Arizona State University, Northern Arizona. And one of the first stories I actually did while we were out there was I interviewed two dance groups from here in Tucson. Okay. That were invited to go and perform at one of the events surrounding the games.
Lovely.
So we really wanted to give the people back here in Arizona a feel for what the games are like outside of the actual sporting events. Mm-hmm. What goes on? What's the culture of the Olympics like? And what are people from here in this area doing out there? What are the athletes doing in their downtime? So we did everything from, like I said, the first day I was out at this cultural event watching these groups perform. The next day I was at U.S. women's basketball practice interviewing Diana Taurasi. Mm-hmm. So we did a wide variety of things. And, you know, I think that people get a lot of information about who has the most medals, who won this game. But I think that it was interesting to give them a look at what else is going on at the Olympics, because the environment there is just buzzing. The energy there is incredible. And people from all over the world coming together and celebrating one of the world's greatest traditions. It was just a feeling unlike any other.
You know, though, too, I think the impact of journalism, of course, is being heavily influenced by also our passion this day and age for reality TV and wanting to sit there, for example, and I don't want to just buy the artist's painting. I'd like to see how he went about his process of painting it, or could I go visit his studios, even if it's vicariously through a YouTube video. So the fact that you are offering other windows into what goes on there, you know, what do the athletes' cafeterias look like? I recall right after the Olympics orders that one of the biggest things going on eBay was selling of the furniture that was used in the athletes' accommodations there. So someone could say, I had a beanbag chair that, well, maybe it was used by such and such a team, but anyway, it was from one of the rooms. So this connectedness that our society is more and more looking for, and that just opens up the field of view for you journalists.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things that we did get to do was do personal blogs as well. And people really really liked those, and they got picked up sometimes more than the sports stories we were doing, because people really wanted to know what it was like to just be there and be a spectator at some time too. So that was really great to not only, you know, do, you know, these professional standard stories, but also to just kind of pour ourselves into our writing.
Yeah, that's right. And so exactly the challenge of your writing skills, not just picking up on what's being said between the lines for that experience. Right. Well, if you look at both of those experiences, let's take Puerto Rico example. You know, one of the compelling reasons for young people to do good internships in their field while they're in their college curriculum days is that sometimes you come back and say, ooh, I really didn't like doing this, or I love doing that. And so it prompts you then to make a shift in what you're studying. Did that happen to you at all as a result of either of these internships, that you suddenly reawoken something or you discovered something you hadn't thought you would like?
Absolutely. I really didn't ever think about foreign reporting. Now that I've had a taste of it, I realize how rewarding it is, how much you grow as a professional and personally. And, you know, when I was getting ready for the Olympics, I remember being far less nervous than I was for Puerto Rico, because after experiencing that and going to this place where there's an entirely different culture, a different language, I felt that I was prepared to go to London and take on whatever came at me. So I think that now, having these experiences, I just feel much more confident in my interviewing, in my writing, because I know that that with challenges I can overcome them. So, you know, I would love to do more foreign reporting, but I think just overall it's made me a better communicator, a better writer, and it's honestly just experiences that I'll look back on and can remind myself, hey, I overcame these challenges. I can do this.
Yeah, or I allowed these total unexpected things to happen. And oh, by the way, at the end of the day, maybe that's why I really needed to do that experience,
exactly.
is to take advantage of it. So you're in the midst here of wrapping up your projects. December will be here before you realize it. So what's your sense of where you're headed next?
You know, that's a question I get asked almost every day, and it's hard to answer. Not so much because I don't know what I want to do. I kind of want to do everything.
That's right.
So, you know, I've started the job search, and I'm hoping that I can, you know, just kind of work in a place where I can write. I can go out and take my own photographs. I can go out and maybe shoot a couple video interviews. I like seeing all of those elements come together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this day and age, you kind of have to be able to do all of that.
Oh, indeed. In fact, because I think in the past, a lot more of the media organizations were segmented. But now with what technology has brought to us is that, you know, there's an expectation that you can do more. Now, those of you who are truly, you know, the digital natives, your generation, that comes kind of second nature. But for those who come from different fields, now you mentioned the Cronkite School. If you look at your colleagues that also joined in this program, were many of them relatively early in their careers, having come from undergraduate programs?
We had a variety. We had people that had been in the workforce for several years. We had people that came straight from their undergrad, some that came with absolutely no journalism experience, and they've had internships with, you know, Reuters and Market Watch. I mean, they've had these amazing experiences as well, and I think that just speaks to the caliber of the professors in the Cronkite School and the opportunities that were given.
So that's certainly something you would advise young people or anyone considering a program, is what's their market access then to the kind of experiences you've had to round yourself
right.
out.
And that definitely helps, but that's not to say that students can't go out and find these opportunities on their own. And I really strongly encourage young professionals, not just in journalism, but mm-hmm. in all fields, to take advantage of every opportunity you're given. You want to make sure that when you go into the workforce, you're confident to take on whatever is thrown at you. You want to make sure that you've networked and have connections and people that you can call for advice. So I really encourage, my little brother just graduated high school, and I told him, you know, take advantage of every opportunity mm-hmm. that you're given and get professional experience, even if it's not what you're going to do long term.
Yeah, and even if you're not getting paid for it as well, if you can
right.
have the means otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that whole experience cover. I know for me, my first summer internship, I thought absolutely certain I was going to go into mechanical engineering and do computer aided design. So I was fortunate enough to land a job in that area, and I turned out after about 3 weeks, I really didn't like the work. But But I fell in love with the business. It was affiliated with the automotive business. So lo and behold, there I was off to the races. So there's serendipity that happens in experiences like you had. Now, here you are saying, gee, foreign correspondent, you know, had you been on a box to check, you might not have checked it earlier than in your experience base.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely, you know, if you had told me last year that I would have had these experiences, I mean, I never thought that I would get to do things like this. And I know journalists that work their whole lives and don't have opportunities like this. So I'm very grateful that I have had these experiences.
That's great. Well, also this becoming a citizen of the world more and more is important, whether it's for folks who have the pleasure of actually traveling overseas, but to bring yourself the kind of experiences that opens up your perspectives to understand that diversity element. Well, now you also, because you had mentioned in the Media Lab, that's one of the focus. So what are you doing there with the application Mobile Apps Lab?
So another graduate student and I are working as content managers on a public safety application for a state agency. So what we were doing from day one in the course is doing research on similar applications that are already out there. We were interviewing people that are related in some way to the subject, and we you know, from different age groups, from different backgrounds, and relate differently to it, just to kind of see what, if they would use the app, first of all, and then to see what changes we can make, because the agency gave us kind of a wish list of what they wanted to incorporate. And what,
so for example, when you say safety mobile app, what is that?
Well, it's actually not launching till the spring, mm-hmm. So I don't want to give too much away of what it is.
But in general, the spec.
In general, we're working on an app right now. It's a hiking application. There's I'm helping with some of the data entry on it, but it's something that we all work on as a group in the lab. And so they went and interviewed, you know, people that maybe hike on occasion, are avid hikers, and just kind of see what they would want out of an application. What would they use? What kind of features would they like to see? So that's the kind of interview process that we do. And then we go in and we meet with the clients and suggest to them, or recommend to them what we want to incorporate. And from there, a development team, some of the students in there have great development skills, but they also have computer science majors that mm-hmm. go in and help develop these applications.
So it's nice. So you're getting some experience right away of the necessity of cross-functional teams mm-hmm. to get a product to market.
Right. Right.
And then also interesting, you're using your journalistic skills really more in a market research setting then. So you're inquiring and seeing what's going to pop back at them.
Right. And so many newsrooms these days, you know, are making the shift into digital. And so if I can walk in and say, hey, I've done this before, I know how to get started, I think that that's an invaluable tool to have. And so, and it's a nice change of pace from, you know, the daily reporting. I've never done anything like this before. So it's really given me an opportunity to, you know, get out of the journalism or traditional journalism idea and experience something a little bit different.
Danielle, the thing about daily reporting, isn't it? It's you are constantly on. Mm-hmm. You can't go take 2 days off. I mean,
right.
You've got deadlines. So for some people, they really love that deadline-driven thing. So you hit the deadline, got to relax, I've got a couple hours break, you know, or hopefully a night to sleep, and then you come back at it again. Mm-hmm. Whereas projects such as you're mentioning here, there's more of a continuum. It's sort of like when you graduate from college, you're suddenly going to lose that anchor of sign up for the class, buy the book, take the class, take the test, sell the book, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So life has these different ebbs and tides versus, you know, distinct elements.
Mm-hmm.
So that variety must be something that's really fueled you.
Yeah, I mean, I love reporting. That's my passion. But it is nice to have a little bit of change of pace. And hopefully it's something that I can incorporate everything into in the future.
That's great. Well, Danielle Kessler from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University, wish you well. And I think the next time I'm going to invite you on, we'll find out what part of the world you've traveled to, what new technology you've uncovered, or actually it won't be an or. There will probably be an and in the mix.
Hopefully.
Very good. Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.